ready?
Yeah.
Okay, what do we do? What do we do? This isn't...
It's a pour over, so it's been ready. You just kinda...
It's been ready? What do you mean it's been ready?
Yeah. As soon as you pour the water, it's ready.
Oh.
So wait.
Am I not doing it? No. Oh. Oh, so cute. So Japanese. Even like a little...
There's a little container for the used bags. So you don't make a mess. Some creamy powder. I just put sugar in mine. And I drink my coffee black.
Oh, I just poured cream everywhere. Oh, crap. That's all. Okay, I got more. Ah, it's getting worse. look at you. Sloppy Americans.
Oh, embarrassing. Oh, my God.
Okay, what are we drinking? What are we drinking right now?
We are drinking pour-over coffee.
Now, we are in Tokyo. We are in Tokyo, Japan. There are 5,000 great coffee houses around here, but we don't speak Japanese or know anyone here, so we're drinking coffee in our room. Well, here we are. It is January 1st.
It is. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And we are in Tokyo, Japan, and this is Coffee Talk. I'm E. Casey Leiden.
And I'm Esther Lin.
And, yeah. So, on Sunday, here, local time, around noon, we travel to Saitama to watch Bellator's first event in Japan. But let's go back a little bit. And when was the first time that we came for an MMA event in Japan?
Our first time here was December of 2008. We came for the K1 Dynamite New Year's Eve special. So at the time, it was K1 and Dream were co-promoting for their New Year's Eve show. This was December 31st, 2008. Well, the only thing I really remember from that was the Aoki versus Eddie Alvarez, and Overeem versus Badr Hari, and Musashi versus Musashi.
Yeah, and I'm sure there were a bunch of other ones on there.
I remember that was the first time I'd watched. They had, you know, the under 18 kickboxing matches.
Oh, wait, I remember like families and like just like yeah. Look like dojos of like 9-year-olds and their little karate gis.
Yeah,
all cheering, and that was like part of the show. They had them all cheering and everything.
Yeah, people would come to cheer their teachers on. There was like a 16 or 17 year old fighter named Hiroya on the card, and he's like, you know, he was kickboxing. It was crazy. There was a lot of like 16-year-olds kickboxing.
Yeah.
And it was just super, super good.
Yeah. So that was probably that New Year's Eve?
Yeah, New Year's Eve.
So New Year's Eve. And then like maybe like 2 days later, Sengoku,
Four days later,
Sengoku had their New Year's event. And that was just a bonus because just by chance, we happened to be at the same hotel with Mayhem Miller, who we knew at the time. We met his manager, and his manager also managed King Mo Lawal, who at that time I think was only 1-0, 2-0, but he was already being built as a big star in Japan at that time. And so we met Mo, and then they were like, yeah, come with us. And basically, they just kind of threw us on the fighter bus, and all of a sudden, we're backstage at another MMA event. And I remember that just being equally incredible. That was like over a decade ago, and... now we're back again, and
11 years later,
and Bellator in the cage, been in Saitama. What was your experience?
My experience was, you know, the show itself was still very much a Bellator show, but it was really nice. The crowd obviously is very different. The entrance ramp, they use the same one as they were going to use 2 days later in Ryzen, and just. Generally, there was like kind of like a nicer feel to it. I don't know. Like it's a little more pleasant. There was a lot less hecklers or people just booing. There was no booing.
A lot less. It was zero.
There was no booing, and there was not really like there was like one or two people that like you could hear some random Americans yelling.
No, okay, no. You're hearing Americans.
Yeah,
yeah.
But other than that, it was. It was really magical, and I could, in like a really good way, that I could tell just by looking at all the faces of the people who worked at Bellator. Like, I looked over at Scott Coker, and he was just like beaming. He was so happy to be there. This was like a dream for him, I think, to promote an event here in Japan.
It really didn't kick in. I didn't really, for me, like sitting cage side, I didn't really go, oh man, this is really awesome. It wasn't until the first fight. It was actually
Goichi Yamauchi versus Darren Cruikshank.
And as soon as they got in there, you could hear
every step.
I could hear both those guys breathing. I could hear everything the corner was saying.
Yeah.
And like, it's never going to be that quiet. Like, even if you watch guys spar at the gym, there's other people talking, there's a radio playing, there's phones going off, there's beep, 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 you know, ring bells going off. Like, it was just these guys and the mat and every loose bolt you hear, everything. It was just, I had a much greater appreciation for everything because every block,
you hear everything.
Yeah, it was just, so I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's cool because I feel like in a sense that people get to watch the fight, the crowd gets to watch the fight, say how someone like me gets to see it. Because I'm normally the closest person besides the ref and the judges. And so I hear a lot of that stuff, but I hear things that most people don't get to hear. And that's the benefit of doing it this way, you know, in terms of like it's quiet and you get to hear the corners and you get to hear the steps and the breath and the blocks and everything. And you know whether something landed or not.
Fedor
Rampage.
Let's just skip to the main event. Mm-hmm. You know, there were fun fights up to then, but let's go what people came to see.
Yeah, it was actually a really solid main card.
How did MVP come over?
MVP, I thought he translated well to the crowd. People really liked him. He didn't celebrate this time the same way he would normally.
He showboated during the fight, but once he won, he was very like.
Right, because that's what you do here. You don't rub it in people's faces when you beat someone. And people were, the crowd was appreciative of that. And they actually really appreciated his flair and style and his Naruto walkout. So, he definitely came off well in the crowd and people liked him.
Yeah,
and I think they'd love to have him back.
Fedor Rampage. How many Fedor fights have you shot now?
Brett Rogers.
At least 10, Bigfoot. I feel.
Yeah, probably 10. Yeah.
I think every American fight he's had except for the Dan Henderson fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, every fight he's had in North America or the States.
Except for Dan Henderson.
So this is your first time shooting Fedor in actually Japan.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I wish he was on the Ryzen card. But I enjoyed the walkout. I enjoyed just seeing it. Mm-hmm. I thought Rampage. I enjoyed the how the camera director like looks like they basically kind of shot it the same way. Like, you know, how the cameraman runs up the ramp, you know, and meets him, and I enjoyed all that and everything. Mm-hmm. It felt good. I was kind of bummer it was in a cage. It felt like the fight should have been in a ring.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. What did you feel?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I just kind of hate the round cage in general. That's just there's too many posts, it's hard to shoot through, blah, blah. Rings are just aesthetically more pleasing. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
Obviously, people have complaints about them. People fall out, blah, 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 that kind of stuff. Action has to get restarted every once in a while. But there's no argument. Aesthetically, obviously, a ring is more pleasing.
Yeah.
However, they use the same lighting rig as Ryzen. And so I thought that looked really great. It actually made the pictures look, I think, a little different. They were just softer. The lighting grid was really soft and very white. Like it's like exactly 3200 Kelvin.
I noticed that. Just the colors were not. I felt just to my naked eye watching. Now, I don't know how it looked on TV, but watching it, just something seemed brighter.
Yeah.
Than a normal Bellator.
It was a little brighter.
I was able to
shoot at a higher shutter speed.
Oh, okay. This is my first time I got to see Fedor fight in a Japanese crowd. So like all those shots that Rampage was blocking at the beginning, I'm like where that camera is, you know, that's where the fight's happening. And I can hear everything. I can hear from Rampage.
Hear him groaning.
I don't know. It's like, I was just like, man, Fedor still swings hard. Mm-hmm. He still swings fast. And it's, I don't know, it's still, he's, it's still kind of magic watching. I get he's not the same Fedor, but and of course he's 40 whatever now, I just still love watching it and getting a chance to see him in that environment, even though it was still in a cage, was awesome. And the shot that dropped Rampage, you know, it's funny. When I watched the video, it didn't look that. I was like, oh, it kind of just grazed his temple. But when I saw it with my eyes, I was like, boom. I just like, wow. And then as Rampage is going down, I didn't see people talking about this, but like as he's going down, I can hear, right when the fight ends, I can hear Rampage tell the ref, he didn't hit me. Like, I wasn't even hit. Like, obviously concussed. You know, it's like, that's like.
He face planted.
Yeah, he face planted. I mean, clearly, once he saw the replay, he was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But it was wild. Like, as soon as that shot hit him, before he hit the ground, he was already going, nope. You know, I was like, man, that guy hits hard then. And like, I don't care how fat Rampage is, you don't knock Rampage out of one shot to the head. You just don't do that. Mm-mm. And it happened. And I honestly didn't think that was possible. I thought it would be some kind of weird ground and pound thing eventually, or like maybe, yeah, something like that. I didn't think Fedor was going to be able to one shot kill Rampage.
The Bells for Main card started at noon here, which is 10 p.m. Eastern in the United States. Started at noon, and it, you know, they had their 6-fight card, and then Ryzen post limbs.
How did the Ryzen portion of the Bellator card end?
Oh yeah, so this is great. So it was Ryzen rolls in a Bellator cage. So that means there are soccer kicks and knees on the ground. And lo and behold, the very last fight of the night, the main event for the Ryzen portion of the card, ends with a soccer kick. Yusuke Yachi just soccer kicks him in the face. It was violent. Like, it was like, it was crazy. And then he came to the post fight afterwards.
Both of them.
It was crazy. It was just a wild fight. They were just swinging the whole time, running around the cage and just falling all over the place. And then, yeah, that end sequence. He was actually falling right when he got soccer kicked in the face. So wasn't even quite all the way down yet. So, but it was crazy because it was like right across from me. Like at the perfect angle. Like that never happens.
Yeah.
And I was just like, whoa.
All right. So we're done. Jump on the train home. Very next day, we go to the Fighter Hotel and the very nice Westin Tokyo. And we go for the ceremonial weigh-ins for Ryzen.
Ryzen. Yeah. So Ryzen only has ceremonial weigh-ins. They don't, it's not open to the public. You know how they have like official weigh-ins at UFC in the morning, and Bellator does as well. And media and public are allowed to watch. Media and public are not allowed into these for Ryzen's actual weigh-ins. Doesn't matter though. Whatever.
Yeah, that's another thing.
They have their show, and they have a ceremony weigh-in in like a ballroom at the Westin. And the way they do this is actually it's open to the public, but not to everyone. It's just to VIP ticket holders.
Yeah.
Because it's a small room. What I really enjoyed about this, and they did this actually at the Bellator weigh-ins as well, because the Ryzen ticket holders, I think, got to go to both shows. At the very end, they make all of the fighters stand on the stage, and then the fans come in rows and get to take pictures with the
It's the cutest fighters. Thing ever. So like, all these fighters, they, you know, they just weigh in, they get their mean face off, they go, oh, I'm gonna beat you up, you know, I'm gonna beat you up. And then they sit down, then they bring it back up, and then they go, okay. And they stand there for about 10 minutes, and just rows of fans come in, and they just, like, pose, and then another row comes in.
Yep.
It's just so adorable.
It is pretty adorable. It was just a fun experience. It was just neat to be in that kind of an environment. And just see someone, you know, another promotion doing things differently. Obviously, they've actually been doing things the same in their system for many years. But it's just kind of refreshing. You know, it's been a really long time since I've shot a Japanese fight. So,
all right. So that was on what day was that?
That was Monday.
So yesterday was Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We jump on the train to head to Saitama around noon.
Yeah, we left around noon again. Yeah. So actually for Bellator, we left at like 10 in the morning or whatever, because we had to be there before noon. No, We left at 9 in the
morning. No, we left much earlier.
Never mind. Sorry, we left at like before 9. I forgot because we had to be there like by 10:30 in the morning. It takes a little over an hour. For the Ryzen card, we left at noon to get there at 1.
For 3 o'clock. Opening ceremonies are at 3 o'clock.
Yep.
Opening ceremonies.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That the pyro always gets me. That big boom. That every time. Everyone's always like...
Well, just, I mean, just the light, but we've seen this on TV and everything. It's just so cool.
It is always cool.
It's just, like, because you don't know what that's always the, you know, you can go just how boring or repetitive UFC events get. Mm-hmm. You know exactly what they're going to show on the big screen. You know exactly. But this is like, you have no idea what the theme is going to be and everything. It was, and they do the entire card, top to bottom. They bring all the fighters out, you know, just...
The opening VTR package, did you get to see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really good. The spray paint art. I thought that was really cool. So they did stencil art for the opening graphics, and that was really neat. And then they introduced everybody on the card on it. Everyone got equal.
Yeah, so you were watching, you were probably by the ring. I'm right by the stage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they come out and everything. And, like, actually, Johnny Case is only, I don't know, maybe 20 feet away from me. We're like, hey, Johnny. You know, and... you know, they're coming out, everyone comes out and everything. And then right before the big boom happens, a Ryzen person comes to us and goes, like that. We're like, what? Goes, oh, shit. So everyone goes like that. And as soon as you go, boom. And I was like, oh, my God, it was so loud. And all the fight, because they warn all the fighters. So all the fighters are like this. And like, I don't know how loud it comes off on TV, but like in the arena.
It's super loud.
It's shaking. Yeah. If you miss opening ceremonies, that would have just sucked. Yeah.
I mean, why come all this way?
Yeah, opening ceremonies are just great. Getting to hear Lenny Hart just say out, scream the names. Oh,
that was great.
That's just like MMA heaven, you know.
Yeah,
just,
and then the love the crowd gave her. So this is interesting how Ryzen does. In the beginning of the show, they introduce all the officials.
I love that part.
So they hear all the referees for the night, hear all the judges, and then.
They get up and bow.
And then they had Lenny Hart get up, and then the crowd cheered for her. And they love her. It's very formal, but in a way that I enjoy.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the fights.
Yeah, fights.
Because it was a really solid card. Top to bottom was so amazing. So it started with the lightweight tournament. Johnny Case versus Tofik Musaev, and then Pitbull versus Luis Gustavo.
Both of those fights, I think, end under 90 seconds.
I think both were under 90 seconds.
Yeah, it's just boom, straight up. I feel like since both guys all four of those fighters knew, I think all four of them, you know what, win or lose isn't going past the first round because we have to fight again. Mm-hmm. So those both guys just came out swinging and just two big knockouts and a soccer kick knockout. Yes.
And then... I don't know, it was just fun, and it was really nice. The crowd was into it, and you know what one of my favorite things is that when the fighters come out, the Bellator fighters especially, when they come out through the big screens and then the pyro and stuff, they all turn around and look at it, and they're like, oh, wow. Kind of just like check out where they are.
Yeah, just like, you're like, oh my God, my name has never been that big. My face is like gigantic, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is where the screens open up, and they come back, and it's like, ugh. I know, I was like, you just look at those guys like, man, like I hope they... I mean, I'm always nervous. Like, man, how do you soak it all in? But at the same time, oh my God, I got to get in a freaking fist fight in like 2 minutes, you know? So either you soak it in, it works to your advantage or not. I don't know.
And then after the lightweight fights was Miyu Yamamoto versus Amp the Rocket. That was, we were talking about this earlier in the sense that that was like the most Japanese fight on the card. In terms of Miyu Yamamoto is not a world beater. We all know this. She's not like the top. She's not a top strawweight or atomweight or whatever weight class she was fighting at. But that doesn't matter because she's on the card for storylines. She's on the card because the Yamamoto family.
Yeah, you know, very famous martial arts family.
Because of her brother. And so it was really... But that doesn't, it's not a bad thing. She's also a very good wrestler. And it was just really, they somehow made it, I don't know, it was a good competitive fight. They found, you know, Amp has actually fought in Ryzen a couple times. And I thought it was really nice to see. It's just it's an emotional side of the fight game. And the opening package was like all people crying.
Yeah, when we watched the opening package, just Japanese MMA, how they promote things. I was watching it with the manager Danny Rubenstein, mm-hmm. and they were showing all these fighters lose. They were showing Tenzin getting knocked out, you mm-hmm. know, by Mayweather and things like uh-huh. that. And I was like, man, I love how they sell losses because it's all about how you come back. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about. It's like, anyone can win. And, I won. Mm-hmm. They show a little bit of that, but the real storyline is coming back and persevering. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it's just so different. It's just so different.
It's a totally different environment and things, what they find important to a fighter. But yeah, I just really enjoyed it. After me was Patrick Mix.
Yeah.
And he looked super impressive.
How good is Patchy Mix?
Pretty damn good. We haven't even seen his striking yet because people always grapple with him.
Yeah.
And he's an extremely good grappler. So actually, Yuki Batoya is a very good grappler. So that was, I was surprised. I was actually really surprised at how quickly that was finished.
Yeah. Like I've heard stories about how good he is. Coaches talk, but like, man, like he seems ready for it and wants it. Like, mm-hmm. I think he said what he went 12-0 as a pro and
11-0 as an amateur.
So he's on like a 20 something fight win streak.
Yeah.
In his mind, you know, that's what I'm on a 20 something win streak. And like, he wants that belt. Mm-hmm. He wants, if he can get the Ryzen belt, he'll take it. He wants that Bellator belt, obviously, because he's part of the organization. Man, I think he's gonna be one of the top two or three breakout stars next year.
Yeah,
I think he's that good, and he's an exciting finisher, and he hasn't even had to use his hands yet.
Yeah, yeah. What was after that?
So many.
God, there were so many good fights. Was it Jake Hume and Satoshi Ishii after that? I don't know. I feel like there were so many fights. Jake Hume's walkout was amazing. Hey, Jake. His Freddie Mercury walkout.
Killer uppercut.
Killer uppercut. I mean, just the action, all of it was good. It's actually so good that it's like my brain is actually overflowing and there's just too much going on. Because we were at the arena till like a little past 2 a.m. last night. We didn't get back to our hotel room until 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Because it takes an hour. Yes. So.
Yeah, it was just, by the time we got back, we're like, I think fights happened.
I mean, it was amazing and it was great. And I had like this, kind of joy. This is something that I feel like I should say later, but I'm thinking of it now. One of the things that happens to me after I watch a night of fights is you've noticed this in me. I'm really sad the next day. Like, I'm happy if it's a kind of exciting event or whatever, but for the most part, I watched a lot of people get beat up and it weighs on my emotions and it actually makes me sad the next day. But this wasn't like that. I woke up this morning, even after only 4 hours of sleep, and I was ready to go.
Yeah.
Because I was excited and I wanted to share everything that I saw last night. And just overall, like the lightweight tournament with the ending with Taufik and Pitbull, Patricky was such a good fight. It was so crazy. And then when Patricky fell through the ropes, he hurt his shoulder, but he didn't want to stop fighting. So they kept going. Everything, just like every element of it was awesome. And then the belts are so cool looking and the very odd formality of the flower bouquet for people title challenging, all of that stuff.
I mean, every fight was good when they hit the main card after the big intermission. Okay, let's talk about intermissions real quick.
Yeah.
Everyone loves to complain about intermissions, and I get it. Man, we were those people. We had to suffer through those 45-minute intermissions. Man, but when you're there live, you understand it because basically you go to a UFC pay-per-view. Essentially, they put intermissions, little 10-minute intermissions there between every fight. Mm-hmm. In Japan, if it's a 30-second knockout or a full 3-round fight, as soon as that fight ends, boom, next video package comes on. Mm-hmm. So it just keeps going and going and going. So you're there So at the opening ceremonies, you watch 7 fights. That's 3.5 hours or so. Yeah, you want to get up. Because actually, it's kind of considered, not rude, but unless you have to get up, you kind of, you sit there and watch, you know? And
then, yeah, well, also, just most people just sit and watch, and then yeah. It gives them time. You get up, go eat, go to the bathroom, and you do all that stuff. Like,
You can actually leave the arena. Because there's a bunch of restaurants right around there. Because it's about a 45-minute break. So, yeah, people leave. Like, they take their time. It's not like...
Yeah.
You know.
And then you come back in, and it's a totally different... Plus, they know it's an all-day event. Mm-hmm. So, the breaks are built in on purpose.
Yeah.
And obviously, it sucks for us, because when we're home, it's like 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. And you're like, oh, my God, I can't stay up before watch 45 minutes of replays. But you get it when you're here, and that's fine. But yeah, that actually reminds me of the thing we were talking about, though, is that if you're a true MMA fan, you know, people always like, Brian never died, blah, blah, blah. People should make the pilgrimage out here to watch a big Japanese event. Because I think it's just different.
If you're an MMA fan, save up a couple thousand bucks. And seriously, come out here. There's, it's like, you just have to. If you're a big MMA fan, at some point, once every 5 years or so, save your money, go to Vegas, go to a UFC pay-per-view in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an MMA fan, save up your money, come here for New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
See a big event at Saitama.
Mm-hmm.
You need both experiences. Because they're two... When they're punching each other, everything's the same, but it's about everything around it, before or after, which are completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure whatever, if you dig the UFC experience, you dig it, but I think you just need to fill it all. Yeah.
Yeah. It's always good to have just kind of a broader palette.
Yeah. And I think you can appreciate how both promotions sell their fights better.
Absolutely. Japanese MMA has intermissions, all that kind of stuff. But when you're here live, it totally makes sense. We come back into the main card, right? And after Tofik Musaev wins the lightweight tournament, then Reyna rematches with Lindsey Van Zandt, who Lindsey Van Zandt beat Reyna in New York at Bellator New York.
Reyna's walkout
was crazy. She had rappers with her. And she was dancing the whole time and singing along. And that's got to be a ton of pressure. We talked about this. That must be a ton of pressure. But we also spoke with Mo about this, because people used to criticize her doing big walkouts, and Mayhem too. He said, no, this is like a welcome distraction. Mm. Planning this helps get my mind off of the minutiae of the fight, right? So... she has this huge walkout, and it's such a dramatic fight. There's ebb and flow, and Lindsay's...
Are you saying it's dramatic MMA?
What a dramatic MMA. Yes. And that's what I felt like all the fights had. All of the fights had that kind of ebb and flow, and just kind of this amazing, like, just your heart was pounding. And I don't know. It was just cool. And then there was later on the main card, Ayako Hamasaki fought Sohee Ham, and that was high-level and weight MMA is freaking amazing.
High-level, the two best 105-pound women are fighting in Saitama in front of, was it almost 30, how many people?
30,000, 29,000 people.
29,000 people. These two 105-pound women are fighting, and the whole place was just totally engrossed in it. There are Hamasaki chants everywhere, and it was awesome. It was like, wow.
And there was some Hamachan.
Yeah, Hamachan. Yeah. and why I want these fans to come over and experience it. Like, you can hear some girl from the nosebleeds, Hamachan. You'll hear it. You look up, oh, there she is. And like, it's just, there's no heck, I don't understand. That many people, not one person decided to go, woo! No one! No one the whole night for two straight nights.
But not a single woo.
No, well, not a single woo. Not a single boo. Not a single put him in a body bag. Not a single fuck him up. Not a single.
I hired a fuck him up.
From who?
From an American.
From an American. From an American. You know, but...
Let's go back to the fight, though. Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you.
Yeah, I know.
We've already talked about this so much.
It was just so great, but the sounds. We're talking about people coming over and stuff. Like,
yeah, I know. But I just wanted to talk about how good the fight was and just everything about it. And also, oh, shit, we got to go back. We got to rewind. I forgot to talk about the end of Reyna and Lindsay Van Zandt because... I saw online everyone was like, oh, early stoppage. And actually the ref, Jason Herzog, didn't want to stop the fight at that moment.
That's why he looked a little confused. Yeah. He looked a little hesitant.
Right. But actually, Van Zandt's corner threw in equivalent of the towel. They gave them a little colored baton. So it's like a little red foam baton for the red corner, blue one for the blue corner. And they threw it in.
So that's so the corner actually stopped the fight because they felt their fighter was taking too much damage.
Right. That's actually what happened. So if that clears anything up for anyone, yeah.
Wow.
Which I didn't, at first I was like, oh, why are they stopping the fight? But then I looked down and I saw he was the foam baton on the thing. I was like, oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah. That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, yeah, that's really, if their corner knows, they know how much Lindsay had in her and they knew she was probably pretty tired. And they, even though there was only 20 seconds, 15 seconds left, they felt, It doesn't take very long to take some serious damage. So,
I also wonder. My guess is that Ryzen pays flat rates, not a show and win. And the reason why is because I feel like a lot of fighters fight with abandon. There's a lot less of the conservative grind out fight because you get rewarded for exciting fights here by being brought back.
Yeah.
So. I actually think that that's probably why the corner was like, oh, she's just taking a lot of punishment. Let's just toss in the baton and not worry about when that we still got paid. So
yeah. Yeah. They're just there again. So the money doesn't, they're not making more or less money.
Yeah. It just doesn't change. Yeah.
So that fight was awesome. The Adam Waite championship fight was awesome.
Fucking amazing.
It was a super good fight. Tension.
Oh shit. Tension, watching tension.
So wait, so now we're gonna throw a kickboxing match in there.
Yeah, which is characteristic of the New Year's shows, or just in general. There's always like one or two kickboxing.
So tension's that little guy that threw that fight against Mayweather, right? No, yeah, because that makes total sense, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you're one of those people, yeah.
Anyway, tension is an amazing. I would say flyweight.
Kickboxer.
And he was facing Rui Abada, who is King of Knockout. Knockout's a promotion here. Mm-hmm. Very good kickboxing promotion. And, you saw, they showed all the highlights beforehand. He's knocked out a lot of people. Both with punches and with leg kicks, which looks so painful. A couple people, you just see people, falling over after getting kicked in the leg. And tension made him look amateur.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I remember hearing, because I follow kickboxing, but I'm not super hardcore about it. And like the hardcore kickboxing people were like, okay, finally, Ryzen's giving a good fight for tension. Like, this guy's tough. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, wow, he made that guy look worse than some of the MMA fighters that face tension in kickboxing. Mm-hmm. It was like I was doing interviews in the back, mm-hmm. so I made sure to come out to the arena to see the opening ceremonies. I saw, I think, Patchy Mix. I wanted to see his walkout. I think I saw a couple of walkouts. But the only fight I wanted to see beginning to end was Tension. So I came out during, because right before it was Hamasaki Ham. So I came out like maybe the third round. I was watching it in the crowd. I hear the crowd. So I'm watching it backstage because the place is so quiet, but they're paying attention. Backstage, I could hear Tension like whack, 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 hitting mitts. I'm like, and I saw fans going, what is that? Like that. Yeah. And it's just like, so like, that's how quiet, because you can hear them. Like, it was just, it was actually a bit of an echo in the whack. So, and then I kind of look over and I saw Tension like kind of pacing, walking around. Mm-hmm. And like, I felt like, oh my God, I was like, I shouldn't be looking at this. I didn't want to get eye contact with him and everything. Cause like, it wasn't like he was all mean mugging, but he was like, bah, 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 bah. Then like, there's just no walk lap.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was really thrilling for me. It's high-level kickboxing is so fun to watch and so fun to shoot. And I got some crazy pictures of that fight. And it was just so thrilling to watch. so skilled and so interesting. And what people, I don't know if people saw this part, because I don't know what the broadcast looks like or whatever. But one of the interesting things is, like, you may look at Tenshin and think, look at that little punk, because, you know, he's really young and he's got his cool hair and whatever and his very fancy robe. And he when he knocked this guy out and he celebrates. But then at the very end, after that, he walks straight over to the guy, Rui Abata, made sure he was okay. Abata has a twin brother who also fights, you know, made sure he was okay. And then they have another brother. So it was just like him going to each family member, bowing, talking. It was just extremely, extremely respectful.
Like, they immediately turn off bite mode and go straight to, like, respectful martial arts mode.
Yes.
And
I understand that's just kind of the weird, like, clash of cultures. I'm not saying one is better than the other. Maybe it's just for me because, I don't know, because I'm Asian or whatever. I don't know. But I prefer this because...
this is why you got into it.
Right, because this is why I got into it. Because we talked about this, and since, like, we came here for the first time 11 years ago to watch a fight. And that's what really sold me on continuing to work in MMA. So we had just lost our jobs at Elite XC, and I was like, that was kind of a fun experiment. I think I'm going to go back to working in production in Los Angeles. But when I came out here and I got to experience what MMA is here, that's actually when we started the All Elbows site.
Yeah.
And doing the videos and stuff like that, because it was so beautiful and the aesthetics were so pleasing and the storylines were so deep, that's what made us want to continue in this field.
Yeah. It was Japanese MMA.
Yeah.
That made us want us, like, what they do here, I want to present my work, you know, your photos, my videos, in the same vein as what they do out here.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that pretty much...
I also want to point out...
We're skipping the main event by doing this, but... Manal Cape looked awesome against Kaya Sakura.
Big upset. That was crazy.
And I know for sure this is going to end up in their next highlight package. Poor Kaya Sakura was, like, bawling. Sitting there bawling. Manal Cape comes over and, like, thanks him and kisses him on the forehead. And he's, like, serious for a second. And then as soon as Cape walks away, he just starts bawling again. Yeah. And I was like, but overall, just, like, that was Ryzen 20 and Battle of Japan too. It reminded me of, and also going back to UFC 243, 2019 was a year of events that reminded me of why I was an MMA fan.
Izzy, Izzy's breakout year.
Yeah,
and you know, but I want to also point out too, because people are gonna be like, "Oh, you just love Japanese MMA." It's like, actually, it's not that I love this. Like, I just love variety, and like, I don't want everyone to be like, I don't want everyone to be like this. That's why I love, actually, as a fan, I love Shinya Aoki.
Yeah,
even though he's a Japanese fighter, he was an asshole.
Yeah,
he would break a guy's arm and then give him the finger. It's like, whoa, you don't do that in Japan. You know, you don't do that anywhere. You don't do that over here, especially. But like,
that's what a dick move. Yeah,
what a dick move. But you know what? I was like, that's kind of cool. You know, because it creates drama. It makes what a dramatic MMA. You know, that's what the storylines are. Because I don't want everyone to be bow and respectful. If that's not you, that's not you. You know, but you're still a good fighter. You can still bow and be respectful, but suck at fighting. You know. Yeah. But like, yeah, because it's the fighting that really is what matters, you know?
It's more the variety, yeah. I wouldn't say that I want to do this all the time. If I was shooting only Ryzens, maybe I would get tired of the way that they work. I don't know. But for me, it's a welcome change.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to see how other people do things. And this is why competition is fun.
Yes.
So. Yeah,
you need variety. Was this the card of the year?
Ooh.
I 100% think Ryzen 20, with only 45 minutes to spare before it hit midnight here, was absolutely the card of the card of 2019.
Ooh.
15 fights, not one stinker on the card. 10 of those fights were just balls of the wall. Fucking like, this was the
first Ryzen card, nearest card, without any kind of, like, quote-unquote freak show fight or whatever.
Yeah.
And they sold out. They sold out just on good MMA.
That's a big deal. That actually is a very undersold story here. That I think, and this is good for Japanese promoters too, yeah. because I think they are always very, okay, we got to put this random sumo guy out there. We got to put some random celebrity comedian yeah. out there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the casuals won't watch it or whatever yeah. you want to call it. But no, this was, every fight was actually put together for sporting competitive reasons.
Yeah.
Every fight.
Yeah. And it was very fun.
Fans showed up and they enjoyed it. They didn't need the random sumo guy or yeah. whatever.
Overall, I would say this is pretty close to Car of the Year. I'm hesitant to say that only because I know I have recency bias. Like, that's the last thing I remember, you know? I'm having a really hard time remembering the rest of the year because it was a year full of fights, full of events. We went to Australia twice.
There was no fight of the year on it. There were some good, great fights. There wasn't fight of the year, yeah, but
solid
from the first fight till the end. You just can't. I think everyone's like, oh, the what was the
236
with the two title fights. Yeah, clearly those two title fights were freaking awesome. But go look at you forget a lot about the early fights.
Another Izzy fight too.
Yeah, which was fight of the year, but that's another thing. I love the card. I hope everyone at home sit down, watch begin to end, enjoy the whole 8-hour experience. Don't just watch the GIFs and then try to watch the whole experience. Save up your money, fly out to Japan and come out and visit here and don't be an asshole and enjoy the culture out here.
Yeah. I think and if you can't make it all the way out here, want to pay-per-view, watch it.
Or $20.
$20 is pretty inexpensive for an 8-hour pay-per-view.
Yeah.
It's totally worth it.
Yeah. Well, this has been a fun coffee talk.
It has. Oh, and the sun went down all while we were in here. I'm so glad, actually, that we got to make it out to Japan this year since UFC isn't having their New Year's show. It really opened up this year for travel and to have new experiences. And we're entering a new decade, so it's really nice to have palate cleanser, I guess, for a new decade.
And this is great for Japanese MMA. And it was a giant success.
Good forecast, yeah.
Good forecast. And hoping for good things.
Hoping for good things. Yeah. All right. Well.
This has been Coffee Talk.
This has been Coffee
with EKC Leiden. That's Esther Lynn. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here. Click like. Join our Instagram. Follow us on TikTok. Beep, bop, boop, bop.